Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In a week when the U.S. surpassed 150,000 coronavirus deaths, health officials addressed the pandemic on Capitol Hill today, and Dr. Anthony Fauci expressed optimism about a vaccine.
There's never a guarantee that you're going to get a safe and effective vaccine. But from everything we've seen now in the animal data, as well as the early human data, we feel cautiously optimistic that we will have a vaccine by the end of this year and as we go into 2021.
Fauci is, of course, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He was joined by Dr. Robert Redfield, director of the CDC. NPR science correspondent Richard Harris joins us now. And Richard, let's start with what we learned about vaccines. Dr. Fauci was asked about safety, the timeline, who would get a vaccine. What did we learn?
Yeah, well, we heard Dr. Fauci once again expressing his cautious optimism. And he also said that although not everyone will be able to get the vaccine immediately, he was hopeful that basically it could actually we could actually know by the late fall or early winter whether, in fact, we have an effective vaccine. Take a while to gear it up. He said it might even take the entire year of 2021 to get vaccine to all Americans, because even if you know if it works, you've got the production issues, you've got to figure out how to distribute it, et cetera, et cetera. But what they're currently having a discussion about is trying to prioritize who will get it first. Of course, in similar circumstances, medical personnel and other first responders who are most likely to be exposed to a disease do get priority. But those discussions right now are just going on, so we'll have to see how it shakes out for coronavirus. A lot of other wrinkles there, too.
And what about schools? School reopenings also came up. Here's what Dr. Robert Redfield of the CDC had to say.
It's in the public health best interest of K through 12 students to get back in face-to-face learning. There's really very significant public health consequences of the school closure.
What was his reasoning there as to why it is in the public health best interest for schools to reopen?
Well, schools provide all sorts of care to children. For example, recognizing getting help for children who are abused. Also, he said more than 7 million children get mental health care through their schools. Other medical care also comes from school nurses and clinics. And of course, you know, school is important for both intellectual and social development, but making a whole human being. So all that needs to be weighted against the risk to children, the risk to the teachers and the staff. And let's not forget the children's families. Kids are much less, themselves are much less likely to get seriously ill, but they can bring the disease home to vulnerable family members, and that can keep the pandemic spreading. So it's complicated calculus there.
I want to ask you about some NPR reporting today about a controversial change this month in how the Trump administration is requiring hospitals to report data on coronavirus cases. Instead of reporting to the CDC, they must now report to the Department of Health and Human Services. The aim, the government says, is to speed up reporting. But your colleagues at NPR found delays and inaccuracies and the fact that the data won't be reported daily as first promised, but now only weekly. What more do we know about this?
Right. This is continued reporting from my colleagues, Selena Simmons-Duffin and Ping Wong. And, you know, they are reporting on some of the problems that hospitals have had making this sudden move and really quite unexpected right in the middle of a pandemic. And one consequence of that is that data are not being released as rapidly as they used to be by the CDC, as you mentioned. It seems, in fact, that, you know, it can be a week between reports, and that's a problem for people who are trying to make use of this data rapidly, for example, to move supplies where they're needed.
The topic of this new system of reporting came up in today's hearing, right?
It did. And one thing we learned today in that hearing is that Dr. Redfield, the head of the CDC, admitted he wasn't involved in the decision to make the switch. And it appears he didn't even learn about it or much of anything about it in advance. So even so, he praised the system that was imposed upon him by his higher-ups and said that it needed to be be in place to help the federal government distribute a drug that's in short supply called remdesivir, and that helps people with coronavirus who are seriously ill. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, a California Democrat, challenged him on that, saying that, you know, hospitals who have had trouble working with the new reporting system may actually have more trouble getting the drug. And Redfield said that they are working to avoid that.
Richard, there were repeated questions from Democrats today about why there have been so many more deaths in the U.S. than in European and Asian countries, and whether a poor federal response was to blame. Just briefly, how did Fauci answer that question?
Well, he explained, as he did before, that European countries were very effective in their initial round of shutting things down. It was something like a 95% successful rate of getting people to stay home. The contrast in the U.S. is it was only about 50% effective. And when officials decided to open up again, that meant there was a lot more virus circulating. So it really took off. So the message now is wear your mask, socially mm-hmm. distance and so on, and try to crush the virus without actually having to resort to another lockdown.
NPR science correspondent Richard Harris. Richard, thank you.
Sure.